The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's got to be done. And I'm going to do it. Super Bowl!
The circus is here.
I think we might have one. Then fine, call me the ringmaster, because I'm excited. I'm so excited. I can't believe he did what he did. I thought
Carmen and Bailey were here. The circus.
I was hoping it was going to be okay. I had no idea it was going to be that good. I am busting. I am so excited. I have no idea how this season is going to turn out. But damn it, what an exciting moment. What a night. I hope you all enjoyed it and nearly as much as I did. I was watching this thing and go, it's getting better. Oh, my God, it's getting better. And it kept getting better. And then it came out in the third quarter. It's like, okay, there's your typical Browns law. And then they took advantage of turnovers and it got better. What a night. What a night. I'm over the moon. Over the moon.
Part of me, I always come in and I'm like, you know what? I got to come in and always be a little more measured than Ken. I always try to look at these things from the 30,000 foot perspective because I always say Ken is over emotional on these things. Ken likes to go crazy on these things. And if I were in any other market in the country, what would I be saying about the freak out? And yet I felt like you on Friday night. I was doing the freak out.
Crazy,
I was
folks.
Enjoying the hell out of it. Part of it is I took my own advice. I had zero expectations. I came in and I expected him to look rough. I expected him to, with the very little reps that he had, I expected him to throw up all over himself on a number of occasions. And, well, look, we did see it on the one play. The one play, fourth and one, he ran straight backwards. And it's like, oh, God, that's right. You can't do the high school stuff here. That might work on a select Saturday night in Boulder, that's not going to work in the NFL, even if it's the preseason.
Fair.
And you know what? He overcame it. And you know what? The floodgates opened. I have to say, it was believe it or not, a Browns player named Watson that made the difference. It was Nathaniel Watson. Nathaniel Watson recovered that muffed fumble or that muffed punt return. And after
you've been sitting on that one.
After that, it changed.
You know he took his notebook out as soon as it happened.
Oh, my God.
His Naked Gun notebook, and wrote it down.
I did. I had the little Naked Gun notebook. They gave us free, little promotional, a promotional element. I pulled it out, and Kenny, because what did it do? It got the offense, which sputtered there. It got the offense back on the field, and then he got to get in something they probably practiced more than anything else, which was the red zone offense. Red zone offense is something that these teams work on. And I do wonder, had they not have had that short field in that red zone situation, kind of a make good scenario for Shador Sanders, what would have happened? What would it have? Could it have spiraled the other way? Could he have had no confidence? I don't know. But I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Guys, his dad was prime time.
Yes, he was.
His dad was prime time. You just knew there was going to be, at least at some point this preseason, we are going to get some of it, and we got it on Friday night. So to that, it was awesome.
216-474-0092. Do we have a quarterback? Do you think we have a quarterback? Is it too early to ask that question?
We have six of them.
Is it too early
right
for
now.
Me to ask that question?
Probably.
Maybe. I don't care. I really don't.
Probably is. But what a great just opportunity to build on something. I didn't know that we'd have anything to build on. But I felt that way on Friday night. I'm like, at least we got this city and a lot of people around the country talking about somebody doing something fun.
I really am. I just cannot believe it went as well as it did. I had to pinch myself. You had other guys who had their first reps around the league. They were not so good. Tyler Shook had a couple of moments, but there was a lot of a mixed bag there. I think, you know, from the pregame on, I think there were a lot of people who wanted to, they wanted a reason to rip. They wanted a reason to not be happy. I'm not even talking about Browns fans. When he walked into the stadium and he's got an entourage with him. He's got Tony Brown with him. Tony Brown plays for the Browns. He can't help it. Tony Brown decides to bring his own boombox.
Can a player be a part of the entourage?
I mean, more than likely, right? But damn, I really, guys, I am fighting the urge to not say, or I'm fighting the urge to start saying things that I might just have to take back because it's still so sudden, it's still so soon, and I want to be pragmatic about it. I also want to go, you know, the season, the win, the over-under. And I got so annoyed by this on Saturday morning. The amount of people who wanted to jump in on the internet and go, you know, this is why the Browns fans are Browns. So I was like, well, so you just wanted to be nasty no matter what. That's what that was going to be. You were just going to be negative no matter what about it. If Shedeur Sanders went out there and sucked up the room, it was going to be same old sorry-ass Browns, same old you guys can't make the right decision, you guys can't do anything. Then he goes out and he played. Well, you guys have to understand it's preseason. I don't, guys, the over-under was at 5.5. So I think a lot of Browns fans...
I think that might have included the preseason.
I think a lot of Browns fans know probably what this season is going to entail. They have no depth with anybody outside of their starters that you can really count on whatsoever. And maybe we'll find some gold in these their hills, but I'm not going to hold my breath on it. So I also want to take the moment to celebrate moments that need to be celebrated, and Friday night was a moment that needed to be celebrated. I don't know how the rest of the year is going to turn out. I don't know how good he's going to be. I mean, hand to God, I have no idea. But you did get reasons to see why there was talk about him going in the first round, why there was talk about him being one of the better quarterbacks in this class. You did get reasons to see it. I'm sure there's things that he thinks he needs to work on, that they think he needs to work on, and we'll see how this goes, because we're just starting to walk through the woods now with this organization and Shedeur Sanders. We are not out of the woods yet. I have no idea what's going to happen here over the coming weeks. Yet Joe Thomas during the broadcast going, you know, if Kenny Pickett's out for the next few weeks, or if he's going to be hurting for more than what we think, or Dylan Gabriel's going to be hurting more than we think, you know, there's real opportunity here for him to shoot right up the board. And I think a lot of folks are going, man, this guy excites me. He excites me way more. I mean, I had a guy, I'm not lying to you, Tone. I told Tone this right before the beginning of the show. I had a guy stop me in my tracks. We're talking about a man in his 60s. And he couldn't believe, Saturday morning, hand to God, I'm at Streetsboro Middle School. Jonah wore the flags. I wouldn't say he was a player, but he was in his flag football game. And I'm walking, going up to the press box. Guy stops me dead in my tracks, and he is excited. I think he felt, he said he felt that he didn't think it was going to be nearly as good as it was. And then the questions started to hit of, all right, what do you do with Dylan Gabriel now? Does anybody want to see? Can you trade any one of those other guys?
Or cut,
can we streamline
three other
any of
guys?
The Joe Flacco conversation, which I'm sorry, if it's way too early to have this conversation because I'm in no hurry to actually start him in the season. But I mean, good God, if he has another good outing against Philadelphia or something like that, then that drumbeat's going to hit. Going, why waste time?
Oh, imagine if Imagine if he had, and I don't even know how many reps he's going to get in the joint practice situation, right? Because this week is supposed to be about getting the starter ready. And it was supposed to be a Kenny Pickett week. Joe Thomas said on the broadcast that it was looking like we still could be a week, 2 weeks away from that. And their plans might have to change again. Because it was going to be Flacco 1 week, Pickett another week. But if Pickett can't go, what does that do to his candidacy to have any opportunity?
Yeah.
Because there have been people that believe the whole time it was slated for Kenny Pickett to win this starting job, even though he's the guy we've talked about maybe the least of all the quarterbacks.
I think
here,
he's the guy that you find the least amount of excitement about. You know, Joe has the history.
Del Ryder will raise you Dylan Gabriel.
Well, yeah, but still, we'll have Daryl on at 8:20. I'll ask him about it a little bit. Like, Dylan Gabriel's still a rookie. They still say process as well. I don't know. It's not a Dylan Gabriel show today, obviously.
I hope it's not a Dylan Gabriel show any day.
Joe's a throwback to some good times. And then you have this kid who I think clearly surprised a lot of people. I think there were some people, certainly in another city, one guy we knew who was ready to sit back and just enjoy the avalanche of terrible football that he thought he was going to see. Mm-hmm. And I think he was shocked with every single pass. And he was letting those emotions out on the internet. I think we know who we're talking about. I'm sure he'll be on during around the AFC North later on this week.
Well, it's an easy thing. So this is what's so great about this. It's an easy thing to get carried away either way. Like, obviously, I've come on the air and told everybody that, guys, it's the preseason. When Jake Delhomme comes out and orchestrates an 11-play drive in his first preseason game with the Browns, like, and people were going nuts, or the Baker Mayfield first preseason game, and it's like, guys, this is not real football. Like, I've done that. I've done that. So that's an easy, that's a textbook. There's a blueprint for that, to just go in and crap on anybody that has a good preseason game.
Yeah.
And it's also the other way. Like, it's easy to bet against a fifth round pick ever being good in the NFL and starting, especially for the Browns. That's one of the easiest things to ever do. Because I think I've done that for a lot of players.
Yeah.
It's so hard, and I've told people it's going to be so hard for him with next year's draft class and quarterbacks and the two picks in the first round. It's going to be so hard for Shador to go from four-string quarterback to making his way up the depth chart to playing well enough this season, earning the starting job, and playing well enough to where it would convince the Browns regime or whoever's here to not take a quarterback in the first round next year. But I'll say this. Man, if ever there was a great enough first step to do that, to accomplish any of what I just said,
yeah,
that was the first step on Friday night.
It was. It's hard to find the words, guys. It's really hard to find the words of how excited I was. Just sitting there on the couch, Liz goes, well, just watch it upstairs. I go, I just want to go to my office. I got to write take my notes and everything. She goes, just come on, watch it upstairs. And just seeing it one after another. And like, he threw the first touchdown pass, and Liz's like, oh, that's nice. That's the son of that guy you like. Like, it was this bizarre experience for myself, and I think for a lot of fans, where we didn't know what to do with ourselves. He was playing so well. 216-474-0092. Does this change anything for the competition for you? Does this change anything for the competition for you? Because I'm willing to put him number two on my depth chart. I don't care. I'll just put it there right now. And if you think that that's overzealous or whatever, fine. But I see a team. Like, can I back it up for a second? Because I'm an excitable guy, and I'll just do things with emotion without backing it up. I don't want to do that. Again, I don't have a lot of faith in Kenny Pickett. I don't have a lot. I mean, Daryl has said everything possible against Dylan Gabriel. So I certainly don't have a lot of faith in Dylan Gabriel. And it's like, all right, let's let the veteran start the season, the 40-year-old guy start the year, and then eventually we'll get to it where, hey, my ceiling, my over-under is 5.5, so my ceiling can't be that high. So maybe I find something with this young man. So I'm willing to put him number two. Because I'll tell you what, I know I got worked into a shoot last week, and I apologized on Friday about it.
How so?
Because I questioned Kevin Stefanski. But clearly he's being taken care of. I mean, you can't just say, well, Shador just went out there despite Kevin Stefanski in the offense. Clearly, there was a shared responsibility there. Do you believe that, too? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if it were shared, then, hey, Kevin's in my good graces. Kevin should be in a lot of people's good graces. I'm sure there's other coaching that's involved there. The coaching staff can be in the good graces. This is base defense that he's facing. I understand that. So I'm just like, well, why do we bother with the other ones? I'll put him at number two. Joe's number one. Shador's number two. I don't think he's nipping at his heels or anything even there. But I'll just put him at number two. And then the other two, you can rank them wherever you want. I don't know.
I think we're in agreement. That's whatever. We're in agreement that there's next to no chance that Shador is going to be given an opportunity to start week one, right? Like, I would be all-time stunned if that happened.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people had a lot of things that they wanted to say before the game on Friday night, and they obviously had to walk those back. So I would imagine there's next to no chance, but we'll see how the coming weeks go.
Do we think that Shador has a chance to throw a grenade into all of the best laid plans?
Why not?
That the Browns have?
Why couldn't he? Because he threw a grenade, and I think a lot of people thought that this was going to go on Friday night. I think a lot of people thought that on Friday this was going to go really poorly, and it went anything but. It went anything but. The composure was there after the first three and out. He had missed a pass to Dylan Sampson that you knew he wanted back. He was able to get back on that. There was a lot, just so many good things that we saw. 216-474-0092. Does this change anything within the competition to you? Does Shador change anything within the competition for you? Where do you have it?
Tom Brady I didn't expect. I expected a lot of excitement. I didn't expect Tom Brady comparison.
That was the Matt and Parma on the hotline.
Late guy, man.
Hotline.
Yeah, use the coming in hotline. It's right next to the listen live button on your free Odyssey app.
Put it up on the poll. Is it hard not to see Tom Brady?
Mitch is going to do that.
He should do it.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't care. I do not care about any negativity that flies in.
It's preseason for the Browns, and Shador, it's preseason for Mitch and the poll. Let's go.
So does this change any of the competition with you? Where do you put him on your depth chart?
Well, I was kind of having fun with it, obviously, on Friday night where I said, oh boy, Dylan Gabriel has been Wally Pipped. There is a new third spot on the depth chart in town, and his name is Shador Sanders. So, it's tough. I haven't seen Kenny Pickett. Now, I've seen him in the NFL, and obviously, I think we share in the same belief that the future of the Browns is not in Kenny Pickett.
No.
But I've had people throughout this whole process telling me like that you guys have anointed Joe Flacco as the number one. Like, it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Like, it is going to be Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett will be the starting quarterback.
And I'm allowed to disagree with the Browns on that.
Sure. I've disagreed. But, like, there's a difference between am I disagreeing with whether or not I think it could happen or am I disagreeing with the Browns' plan? Like, he was the guy they brought in that was, like, if you look at chronologically, it was Kenny Pickett they brought in before Joe Flacco, right?
Yeah.
So I can't really argue all that much with the Browns did actually use an asset to go get him. And the timing of it would kind of support that this whole thing was supposed to be Kenny Pickett's job. Me and you, once he went down with the hamstring, we're like, oh, it's over.
See?
It's over. It's going to be... So what would they do in response to that? You know, if Kenny Pickett is sidelined for another week plus, which is what Joe Thomas said, then how are we even supposed to talk about him in terms of his spot on the depth chart?
I don't think that they're really... Again, with him, what's the spot on the depth chart there? Like, if he's not available, then he's not available. Like, I can't... Once he becomes available, then I guess we could talk about him. And once there's more experience to who's going to be playing and who's not going to be playing, then maybe we can discuss it. But as of right now, it's like, okay, out of sight, out of mind. I got two guys that I'm thinking about. I mean, again, Snoop Huntley's coming in just to finish off the game. Yeah. But I got two guys there that I'm already thinking about. Joe Flacco.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
To start the year, Shador Sanders, whenever that starts to get wobbly, the wheels get wobbly on that. Now, it has been one game, and so maybe by tomorrow and Wednesday I could calm down a little bit and catch more reasoning. But I don't know what the reasoning is when all I've heard is that Dylan Gabriel can't cut it as a quarterback in the NFL from the people who are watching him, not just Daryl, but also Zach Jackson has brought that up. And then for Kenny Pickett, who, yeah, obviously I had some negative thoughts on coming in, and if he's not available, all right, well, Shador has shown me something. So no matter what anybody wants to say, then it's going to turn right back into the, well, okay, I guess I have to trust the guy that not a lot of people trust in picking the quarterback to lead this football team. Because if it's Joe, then Shador, I think people can get on board with that right now. But if it were Joe, then Kenny, then Shador, I think you're going to have to do some explaining. 216-474-0092. Nick and Maslin, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well, Nick. Go ahead.
You know what? Shador did look good. Not a big fan. He looked decent. I just think everybody needs to slow down a little bit because everybody raved about DTR the first preseason game he played, and everybody thought Roger Staubach had just put on a Cleveland Browns uniform. He looked good, but you know what? Let's just...
But you
most of those,
you,
guys,
you,
he's playing, most
you,
those guys he's playing against are going to be bagging groceries
know,
in a couple weeks.
You
so
know
that,
well, how many people actually bag groceries now? It's usually like self-serve.
I bag my own.
Yeah, I
haven't... Well, you know what? You have a point.
Okay, I haven't seen a grocery bagger in quite a long time. So, Nick, let me ask you this. See, there's a difference. Well, let me make this point. Let me make a counterpoint here. There is a true difference between DTR and Shador Sanders. Nobody on earth thought DTR should have been a first-round pick. There were plenty of people in America who thought that Shador Sanders, people who get paid to scout guys, thought Shador Sanders should have been a first-round pick. That's a huge difference.
I'll give you that. All I'm saying is the kid looked good. I was impressed for not having very many reps with the first team. But all I'm saying is it was a competition he was against, and it's like,
but Nick, can I ask you
well, that's easy.
Nick, I understand you're coming from a
Skeptic.
You're being cautious. You're doing the thing. You're trying to be more responsible. But you started the call off by saying you didn't like him. What didn't you like about him?
Ooh.
No, I thought he was very overrated. I watch a ton of college football. Okay. I'm 65 years old. I've watched 6 years of college football. I love college football. I love when these guys come out. I love watching them. And I think it's like, okay, you're this guy that way. I was not impressed with Shador at Colorado. I'm sorry, really wasn't. The defense they played against, I mean, I understand he didn't have an offensive line, not much running game, but he never really impressed me. He looked solid, but a first-round draft pick, I just could never imagine that. But, you know, I just, like I said, love college football, love these guys coming up, love watching them. And it's just, you know what? I've been watching the Browns since, oh, my God. Well, like I said, I'm 65, so my expectations don't get too high because they've been pretty much watered down a lot of times. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay. Well, so, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and rip on Nick. Thank you for the call. I'm not going to rip on Nick. He obviously needs to win him over. Nick has claimed he watched a lot of college football. Nick's been a caller for a while. I don't have any reason to not believe Nick on how much college football that Nick watches. There is going to be a healthy amount of skepticism as time goes on. Can he repeat what he did? I think from some of the national folks out there, it's going to be interesting to hear what they have to say and how we change some of the things here on this Monday about what they thought of Shador beforehand and what they think of him now. And really what they also think of these other quarterbacks. Like with boots on the ground here, I just think, again, there was a lot of things that I liked about Shador coming out of college. There was the questions, obviously, about what actually happened, combine, offseason, what went to him going from the first round to the fifth round. But there were still people, obviously not Nick, but there were still a lot of people who break this down for a living, who go, at least in this last class, it was a thin class, but at least in this last class, he could be a day one pick, should be a day one pick. He falls to the fifth round. See, DTR, there's always more skepticism in your mind. There were definitely people who loved DTR. There were definitely film guys who loved DTR. They might run away from that now, but they love DTR coming out of college. And so they were kind of doing their own champion's pose when he did what he did against the Jets. Nick is right. But nobody thought DTR was going to be a day one pick. People believe Shador Sanders could have, should have been a day one pick. So if you have a guy like that, yeah, how can you not feel but get excited? You get this guy that drops into your lap, and you start to tell the same stories that we've been regaled with our entire lives. So I don't know if he's going to turn into Tom Brady or Johnny Unitas or Len Dawson, for that matter, if we're going to go really into historical facts here. But damn it, how can I watch him on Friday and still be that skeptical? You got to be the hater of haters to think that this can't be, 100% can't be. It could still go down, but if you think that this can't be successful at all, I guess there's no talking to somebody.
Well, I want to know, because that caller started off the call saying
it was interesting.
He thought he was overrated, whatever. And there were people chirping during his pregame walk-in when that started getting the coverage that it did. And they did. They said he's got an entourage, really, for the first preseason game. I do want to talk to the people that...
It was his teammate.
But. Yeah, I do want to talk to the people that have had this kind of thought about Shador that... You know, we remember we were getting the calls and we were talking about taking him in the first round and maybe number two overall. The Nepo baby stuff, the people that have come in with a pre-developed narrative on who he is and what he is, probably because they maybe never liked Deion, right? Maybe that there was a carryover there.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know, like, man, this guy has shined in every interview. He has been all over the community. He never, while guys like Hugh Douglas said this is a hostage situation, when all the people said that Browns are sabotaging him and the deck is stacked against him. And by the way, the deck is stacked against every fifth round pick. You know, you're not supposed to really get that many opportunities as a fifth round pick. Like, is he winning? Is he slowly winning you over a little bit? Like, he hasn't complained once. He hasn't asked for anything. He hasn't demanded anything. He hasn't leaked out to the media, or his camp hasn't leaked out to the media how unhappy he is, buried on the depth chart. Fourth. He's fourth. Somebody that came in selling the most jerseys in the draft.
Good point.
Right? Like the guy that had a Nike commercial ready to roll, a Nike ad ready to go the minute this game was over. if ever there was a guy who you could see start to shout that he doesn't like the way he's being treated, he hasn't done that. He hasn't done that at all.
He's on the team that everybody would believe it, too.
Oh, yes.
He's on the team that everybody would believe it. I mean, there's only a few teams out there that people would go like, okay. No, like, he's on a team that people would believe it. And he's at every opportunity to fuss and bitch, or at least or leak it out there, fussing and bitching, and he hasn't done any of that. Even like he was talking to Aditi in the waning moments of that game on Friday.
Said he played subpar,
and he was critical of his own performance. He's been very, very, very careful. He knows how some people perceive him, and he's been very, very, very careful to not do anything to ruffle feathers.
How is that not winning people over? That's the one thing I'm confused. How does his approach and how he has
preconceived
at least,
notions?
Okay, that's fine.
Preconceived notions.
I've had preconceived notions about guys, and yes, I'll be stubborn, but eventually, like, you can't deny, like, this kid is doing what's asked of him, and he's competing, and speak softly, carry a big stick. It was actually his teammate that was carrying the big stick as he walked into the stadium. But I what an awesome start. What an awesome start. Like, I'm not ready to call him Johnny Unitas either, but what an awesome start.
Does Lima like?
Or does Lima no like?
Like?
Chummy likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? Like or no like?
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
All right, let's start out, because we certainly will get to plenty of the Cleveland Browns coverage with their big win on Friday.
You bet
Friday.
Your ass.
But another weekend and...
I'm alive.
Another...
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Series win for your Cleveland Guardians, ladies and gentlemen. They have crawled, scratched, done whatever it has taken to get to within a half a game of a wild card spot. What are they, behind the Yankees?
Yep.
Oh boy, it was fun to see over the weekend. A lot of the derision out there from the New York and national baseball writers going, hey, has anybody seen what the Guardians are doing? Has anybody seen the Guardians' payroll compared to the Yankees' payroll? Same thing happened when we swept the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And it just led me to the conclusion that nobody's happy with their baseball teams, because nobody was happy here in Cleveland. Now the Mets fans aren't happy. The Yankees fans aren't happy. Who's happy? Who are the teams that are happy as the Guardians took 2 out of 3? Now, we weren't very happy yesterday because finally we had a rough starting pitching game. We haven't had a lot of those. Ciccone, he got roughed up.
He did.
That one home run is still going. Was it 450 feet? It was insane.
It was a ways.
It's on the highway, probably.
Yeah, but you did get...
I'm alive.
Manzardo, another 2 home runs. You know, he's up to 20. 20 home runs on the season.
He doesn't get to play all the games.
Doesn't get to play all the games, and there's still a lot of baseball left. And you're starting to see, you know, all year we've been talking about, hey, it's two bats. We got two bats in his lineup. They've had other guys that are shaping up to have a stretch run that I think is scaring the you-know-what out of some teams ahead of them in the wild.
A guy from Columbus recently that's pretty good at baseball.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, CJ Cavis.
That's another.
I'm alive.
He had his first major league home run. And another guy that, hey, I don't know if he's going to bat this well the rest of the year, but this has been pretty impressive. Then they got some other news.
Lima likes.
We might not be that far removed from seeing Bazana.
Of course.
Who got the call up to AAA.
Yeah, he's in Columbus.
So, Kenny, I gave you a lot. I know it stunk that they lost yesterday.
Eh.
How are you feeling about the Guardians right now?
I feel by the end of the week they'll be in the wild card. I also feel that CJ Cephas did his job and hit it to where? Cephas Corner.
Do we have a Cephas Corner update? Is Mitch ready to go?
I think you kind of sprung it on him there.
You got
to
be ready for Cephas Corner.
Sprung.
You got to be ready for a Cephas Corner at any point.
It's true.
It could be dropped in. What's the belt that in the WWE You have to be
24/7.
The 24/7. Well, Caifas Corner is a 24/7 situation. We might call Mitch in the middle of the night, 3 a.m.
That's got to be the one belt you don't want to win.
Mitch is our R-Truth.
So. Yeah.
I'm here if you need me.
24/7 belt, it's got to be the one belt you don't want to win. It just makes you paranoid at all times.
Exhausting.
Yes.
All right, Mitch, Caifas Corner, let's go.
In our current update of statistics, Colin Joseph Caifas is batting .269 on the season. As you mentioned, had a home run on Saturday against a left-hander, of all things. Five RBIs currently in his short campaign, has seven hits on his career and 26 at-bats.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Caifas Corner. Nice job, Mitch.
Thank you.
Young Mitch, we did get some rough news over the weekend. A lot of good music news. We got some rough news.
Lyman no likes.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Chubby Checker, apparently, and who's been in studio.
He has. I have a picture with him.
He's been. What are you shaking your head, Kenny?
No, I'm not. I'm not shaking my head. I'm wondering where you're going.
You were absolutely shaking your head. I saw
Kenny's
you.
Kenny's doing a little chubby checking up on what this story is.
What is this?
He has decided that he is not going to perform. Not even going to show up at the Hall of Fame. He has a gig. He scheduled a gig on the same day. He'd been bitching forever about not getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's like Michael Irvin. No. Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens had his own private ceremony.
That's right. Yep. I do remember that.
The Terrell Owens of music.
We had a very rough news. People that want to call these NASCAR drivers, not athletes, people that want to throw all sorts of shade at Kenny's number one sport.
It's not my number one sport.
Well, folks, you want to talk about guys being put in harm's way during the race?
Football's my number one sport.
Kenny, did you see over the weekend the rough news when it came to an Xfinity driver, Connor Zilich?
Yes.
Who, after winning the Pennzoil 250, vaunted Pennzoil 250.
At the Glen. Would it have been at the Glen?
Yes.
It's at the Glen.
The NASCAR race was.
Yes, everything was at the Glen this week. There was a triple header. I believe the trucks raced there as well. Just say it was at the Glen and move on. Yes.
I guess. This says at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Oh,
this is a picture. Wasn't. This is a picture of him winning. Anyway, this is what happened. Listen to the announcers. Sad stuff.
Seven victories, the youngest ever to reach seven career wins. Let's go down to Mobile One Victory Lane.
He went down on the cage stand.
Oh my gosh, he fell.
He broke his collarbone. He got up so.
I did not see any racing this week.
Yeah, well, did you see this?
No.
He did what they do. He gets out of the car. He stands up on top of the car. And then he kind of gets trapped.
His foot got stuck when he went to turn.
Because you put the window net inside, never outside. Unless you're in a hurry to get the hell out of there.
They need to get a platform.
Yeah.
Like Swenson's has when you get a burger.
Did his foot get caught? His foot got caught on the net, didn't
it? Well, his foot kind of went inside and then... He couldn't get it out in time. I think
This is a rough way to fall. He falls like a toddler that's just learning how to walk, falls down, and they trap themselves and broke his collarbone.
I'm glad he's okay.
So we didn't even need to play the music for that one.
Nope.
Kenny, you want to talk about playing music? They were playing music in downtown Cleveland.
I'm alive.
Folks, this is just MGK City. Can we just...
I had no idea any of this was going on either.
It was a full weekend of activities in downtown Cleveland. They called it MGK Day, but it was MGK Weekend. It's been MGK Month. Shaquille O'Neal came in town for it. I butchered his name before the show. Oh, and the kids love him.
Drewski
was here.
Lil Drewski.
I call him Lil Drewski. Is he little?
No.
No.
He's
very
big. He's big. Is he?
Big dude.
Is he tall?
Well, I think he's on the shots now. Is he on the shots now?
He was at the ESPYs. He was still a good... He's still a good-sized individual.
All right, fine.
He might have slimmed up.
Thought he might have been on the shots.
We have debated MGK's placement as Cleveland's celebrity, famous Clevelanders. Is he just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, Kenny? Because people get mad every time we bring it up.
I don't know why they get so mad.
Then people try to say he's not from Cleveland.
I don't know why they get so mad, but he is a heat-getting person. Obviously he's a pretty big celebrity. Major star of music and... Can I say movies? I hated that. I hated that Motley Crue thing. Okay. I got 5 minutes into it. I go, nope, we're done here. The overacting. But everything else he's done.
Is that what the role called for,
though? I still think this last one, what he did, I think that that was a spoof. Him singing into the mop. Yes. I'm telling you, I think that that was a spoof.
I thought it was a parody. I thought it was obvious that it was a parody. Anyway,
He has one with a push broom now.
I could not believe the amount of individuals that were
Swiffer.
Instagramming their weekend. There were after parties. I think that finally just ended about an hour ago. This final after party. That's it for Lima Likes.
Outstanding. Sorry, I was just so busy watching the replays of the touchdown pass to Caden Davis over the weekend.
Which one? You had two to choose.
Yeah. Well, the first one was excellent.
A legitimate dime.
The first one was excellent. The second one was good, too. But the first one, oh, my gosh, what a throw.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.